When I was in the seminary, I took Latin with a crusty old Carmelite friar from Wisconsin who was one of those people that if you ever made any mistake in class at all, he would always bring it back up to you every single time a similar thing happened. And he really was kind of one of the world's greatest kind of stores of knowledge of the Latin language. And he wanted to impart that knowledge as much as possible. And so in our classes, we spent a lot of time working on some of the homilies of the early fathers of the church. And I still remember very vividly Father Reginald one day during class saying, you know, you young priests think that you can preach and you're terrible. You're absolutely terrible at it. So if you want to give a good homily, read what the fathers said and shut up and sit down. So every once in a while, I take that advice to heart, particularly because in the Liturgy of the Hours, in that Office of Readings, the second reading of the Office of Readings is usually from one of the early fathers of the church. And many of those readings are really profoundly beautiful. It's one of the reasons why the church often asks not just her priests and religious, but also her laity to participate in the Liturgy of the Hours as much as possible. And as I was praying over the text for the Mass for today, for the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, I came across this second reading, which is from a letter by St. Athanasius. So I just wanted to kind of share some of it with you tonight. The Word took to Himself the sons of Abraham, says Paul, and therefore had to become in every way like His brothers. This included the taking of a body like ours. That is why Mary is there, that He might receive a body from her and offer it as His own for our sake. The Scripture commemorates His birth. Gabriel chose his words carefully in addressing Mary. He doesn't simply say that Christ will be born in her, lest Christ's body be thought to have been introduced into her ready-made. He says instead that Christ will be born from her, so that what she bears may be thought truly to have its source in her. The Word, in taking our nature to Himself and offering it in sacrifice, made it wholly His own and then invested us in turn with His nature. Thus Paul was able to say that our corruptible nature must put on incorruptibility, our mortal nature, immortality. None of this was pretense, as some claim. The Savior truly became man, and the salvation of the whole human person ensued from that incarnation. Our salvation is not a fiction, nor does it belong to the body alone. The whole man, soul and body, has been saved in the Word. The being who is thus born of Mary was therefore genuinely human, as the Scripture says, and genuinely the Lord's body, genuinely because it was the same as ours. For Mary is our sister, and we were all born of Adam. John says the same thing when he speaks of the Word being made flesh. Paul goes further and says Christ became accursed for our sake. Through its connection and communion with the Word, the human body has been greatly blessed. Born mortal, it is made immortal. Animal by nature, it is made spiritual. Thus sprung from the earth, it enters the gates of heaven. Today, when we celebrate the feast of the motherhood of Mary, as St. Athanasius kind of alludes to in this beautiful letter, it's not merely just because she happened to be a mother, or merely because she was the mother of Jesus, but because divinity chose her so that the second person of the Blessed Trinity could come down and receive human flesh so that we could be saved by that flesh. And that is the root of the true glory of Mary, that in obedience of faith she said yes to this amazing plan of God, to come as close to us as possible, even in the flesh. So this is a day of great rejoicing for the entire church. Because of Mary's yes to be the mother of the Savior, then all of us have the possibility to reign with Christ in heaven forever.